Welcome to the Over a Cup podcast. I'm your host, Tara Cole. This podcast is for moms who feel too busy, distracted, and tired to spend time with Jesus, much less help their kids do the same. This podcast will help you feel encouraged, inspired, and equipped to fight distractions and find the time to deepen your family's relationship with Jesus. Thank you so much for being here with me. Pour yourself a cup as we learn how to focus on Jesus together. Friends, welcome back to another episode of the Over a Cup podcast. I am so glad you're here. My guest today is Monica Swanson. I know her from the Boy Mom podcast and her book by the same name, Boy Mom. And so I have been excited to have her as a guest on the podcast to talk about our children and their giftings and things like that. Monica, would you like to introduce yourself a little bit more?
Oh, sure. It's so great to be here. Thank you so much for having me on. And yes, I love to talk about anything family related, parenting. I have four sons. The oldest just turned 23, which just blows my mind. As we record, he just graduated from college and he is backpacking in Europe. So I was almost late to the podcast because he FaceTimed me from Ireland. So that was really exciting. And then I have a 21-year-old. I have an 18-year-old. So all three of them have graduated from homeschooling. I homeschooled them all the way through. The 21-year-old is halfway through college. The 18-year-old is dabbling at college online while he is traveling the world surfing professionally. So that's been a really exciting thing to be a part of. And then I have a 12-year-old at home who I am homeschooling. I'm in Hawaii up on the North Shore, kind of out in the country. We grow tropical fruit and have a very beach-centric life. Actually, my 12-year-old has taken up golf. So now we are a golf family as well. But I just love to encourage families and parents. I just believe that we are raising our kids in such a crazy time culturally. But I really believe with all my heart that parents who are invested and intentional can make all the difference, and that there is still so much hope for raising amazing kids in the world today. So that's my heart and that's what I do.
I love that, Monica. And that's what we're talking about today, because as we've been going through different sections of the book, Everyday Prayers for the School Year, that came out in August of 2020, one of the sections in there is about our kids' giftings, because mm-hmm. so often we focus on their character, which is extremely important. Mm-hmm. And we focus on them making the great, which is also mm-hmm. important. Oftentimes we overlook the way God made our kids and the way they're wired. And you said that you had a God story, or many of them you could choose from, to share about a time in your kid's life. Would you share that with us so we can dive in?
You bet. Yeah. Looking back now that I have a son as old as 23, there's so many different seasons that kids go through, but I think that probably if I have a heart for one particular season, it would be those tween years, the middle school and early high school years. And I think it's because I really watched my sons walk through a difficult season then. And yet I also saw God really show up. But one thing I know about all of our walk with God is sometimes we don't see it until we look back. And so there's patience required. And we live in a time in this world where people aren't very patient, where we want everything now and we want quick fixes and instant gratification. And I think about when my oldest two boys were really middle school age, and some of those friendships they had when they were young were starting to change, and kids were starting to make decisions, you know, really kind of leaving what I call the narrow path that they were on. They were like buddies that went to youth group together and did church together and all that. And then suddenly the kids were hanging out with a new group and were starting to clearly make some choices that were not things my sons wanted to make. They didn't want to go down that path. And so to watch my boys stand in their convictions and to choose to be okay, not being in the crew, not being in the group, sometimes feeling pretty lonely, and we live in a small community. So depending on where you live, sometimes there's great options like, well, I'm going to just go find new friends, but friendships are hard, right? So I think when I look back and I see that my boys just made the choice to spend a couple years, probably honestly, lonely a lot. Like they were okay. They weren't like depressed, but they weren't part of the crew. They were homeschooled for one. They surfed. They did things that got them mixing it up with other kids. Some of them played different sports. They all went to youth group. But I remember trying to figure out as a mom, like, should I just let him go? Like, one of them would argue and be like, well, the kids are all doing this. And I'd be like, buddy, I know what they're up to. And that's not good. He'd be like, well, what if I could influence them? And I just had to try to explain to him the simplest I could that it's very unlikely that one kid making good choices is going to influence a whole group. Rather, can we just be strong and trust that God's going to take care of you? And it was during those years, it was during that time, I look back and see one son started playing the guitar. Another son started fiddling with his computer and getting into computer coding and built a website. One of my sons took up reading and became just a really voracious reader. But most of all, during that time, each of them really developed a strong personal relationship with Jesus. And I think that's when God became their best friend, because they didn't have a whole lot of options. And yeah, they hung out a lot with their parents, who, looking back, they can agree we weren't all that bad. But at the time, it would be like Friday night with mom and dad. But I really believe that because they didn't have that instant fix of, I'll just hang out with friends, you know, we didn't give them full freedom to just be on video games or social media. They had to dig in and go, well, what am I interested in? And they had to spend time exploring the things they were interested in. I mean, all my kids, some of my boys, most of my boys are into birding. My husband's a birder. So they started like walking around outside and looking at birds or studying rocks, like things that sound so geeky in a way, but they had that freedom to do it because there was nothing else grabbing their attention. And I just love that through that process, each of them developed interests and passions that were very unique from one another, and that they continue to pursue today. They continue to play music. To one of the one that built the website is now was a data analytics major and is working in the computer tech industry. And so it's just fun to see when you give kids, you know, that I've heard people talk a lot about, let them be bored. You know, Andy Crouch says that boredom is the gateway to creativity. And I just believe that if they have that time and that support of us saying, it's okay, you can spend some time being on your own, or we're here for you, sometimes amazing things come and they really do discover who they are. So that's my encouragement to any moms raising kids in those younger years where they're a little awkward, they're trying to figure it out. It's okay. In time, it all works out. And so I think that's my heart, one of my big messages to moms.
And I love that, because I've seen so often nowadays that for whatever reason, there's this culture that our job is to entertain our kids. Mm-hmm. And keep them gratified, to keep them from saying the bored word. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of a few years ago was like, wait, where did this thought process and this culture come from? Mm-hmm. I spent hours playing outside as a kid. Mm-hmm. My mom didn't mm-hmm. entertain me. And so to kind of remind myself and my kids of that, I've started saying, I'm not your cruise director. Go find something to do.
I love it.
Bought the house. We have some land, a little bit, not much, but because we're in the city, but you have the toys and all the crafting supplies. Mm-hmm. We provided it. Go be creative. Mm-hmm. Figure it out. Well, and then they get a chore if they continue with the B word.
Right. That's my boys know better than to use the B word, because that's synonymous with, can I do some work for you, mom?
Yes, exactly. Here too. Somebody once asked me, how do you get your dog hair off your floors? I'm like, if my kids say the B word, that's their first chore. I don't do it. So yes, I like that you pointed out to allow them to really discover who God made them to be and those mm-hmm. gifts he gave them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it requires space in their lives, and we don't have to keep them busy running from sunup mm-hmm. to sundown. That's not our job as stewards of them.
100%. So,
as your sons kind of leaned into their gifts, were there ways that you saw that you could partner with them and help them steward those gifts well and develop them more? And what were some of those ways that you may have seen?
Sure. Yes. Well, my husband's kind of all or nothing guy. That's just his personality. Whatever he does 100%. And for him, he's definitely, sports are his thing. And so as soon as my third son started getting more serious about surfing, you know, by the time he was probably 10 years old, my husband was all in with that. And it would be, you know, have him in all the contests, sign him up for coaching. dad was definitely the sport guy. And now that my 12-year-old is into golfing, same thing. I mean, there hardly a day goes by that they're not doing something golf related. So I appreciate that support. And for the others, I think it was just a matter of, you know, my son Jonah got a guitar for, I believe, either his 12th or 13th birthday. And that really opened that door. And then it was like, do you want to take lessons? What do you want to do? How can we support you? But just kind of having the dialogue, having conversations and saying, what do you need? How can we support you? Do you need to learn more on this? Do you need a class? Obviously, the internet offers a whole lot. They sometimes don't need. And my son taught himself to code on the computer. I had no idea what he was up to, but that was all on his own. So I think just having conversations, asking what they need and supporting them.
And I love that because sometimes parents feel like if they don't have a lot of money or a lot of time, they can't support their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be as easy as buying them a used guitar and then a new guitar to begin with. I'm not an all-in person as much. I'm a let's buy you this inexpensively and see how long this interest holds. And then if it continues down the road, I'll up the ante each time.
Yes.
But I'm glad you pointed out there's so much learning to be had online. Because yes, my kids are learning all kinds of coding and right now, because they're way preteen, they're age 8 to age 13, they are learning how to do Minecraft. So there's better things to use YouTube for, but there are hundreds of videos on YouTube to help your kids with their interest without investing heavily in a class, whether you don't have the time or don't have the money.
Yep.
I myself love the yoga. I turn to YouTube for it.
Mm-hmm.
So just supporting your kids and allowing that. But along with that, I would say that when I do let my kids on YouTube or those learning experiences, our computer is in the main part of the house, as is our TV. So they don't have YouTube on a personal computer in their room or on their phones.
Right.
Because at least for me and Monica and I, we're raising boys. And that's a dangerous road to go down real fast.
Yes, 100%. Gotta put many layers of protection on, from filters to where you have them to, you know, even time. It's just easy for time to slip away and it's just not healthy. Even if they're coding, whatever they're doing, kids need balance and they don't know that. They don't know that it's not healthy, you know, intuitively. They don't have an understanding that they actually should get up and go outside every once in a while. So yeah, I think they need us to continue to put many layers of protection on.
Yes. I joke with my kids that their computer's locked down like Fort Knox because they're like, I can't do anything here without your permissions. Yes. That's the point.
It is so true. My college kids, we've kept the same filters on for college and they're like, it's almost impossible to do things because of these filters. And I was like, yeah, I didn't even remember that I could probably change some of those settings, but I love that that was just normal to them and that they just live with it. I was like, well, good, because that's kind of life. Like we need to, that it's okay to not have easy access to things and to have to work harder or wait or not see something. So yeah.
Right. And something I just thought of, it's kind of sidetracked from what you're talking about a little bit. And you saying your kids still have filters, even in college, is what reminded me of it. So I bet there's a mom out there thinking, but if I did that to my kids' internet, especially if they wanted to learn something, they're going to throw a fit and say, you're invading my privacy.
Yeah.
So here's the conversation I have that might be helpful is my husband and I have access to all of each other's passwords, each other's phones, all the social media accounts, texting, all of it. And so I just tell my kids when they come up to the years and get email and phone, there's accountability in this household. Daddy and I are accountable to each other. You're going to be part of this accountability circle here. So we have your passwords, your phones, all the things. Whenever you leave our house, choose another person to be accountable to, but you need to be accountable to someone.
Oh, such a good way to have that conversation. I love it. And also I remind parents often that as long as your child is using a phone that you bought or is internet service that you pay for, you know, really, I think our language ought to be, and I haven't been perfect about this, but I try to say, that's not your iPad. That's my iPad that I'm letting you use. And that's where really having technology contracts are really helpful, because when they have to sign on a line that says, you know, this is some of the rules I'll follow, this is how what I'm going to do with it, this is what I'm not going to do with it, they're signing. And ultimately, if they break any of those rules, then we have every right to say, okay, you're going to lose it for a time, or we're going to have a consequence, because they're the ones who have agreed in contract to how that's going to be used. So I think it does help to use a language that this is my phone, this is my computer, but I'm allowing you to use it while, you know, as long as you are playing by the rules. So I think that's helpful, but I love the accountability conversation. And I love that you say there, when you leave the home, find somebody else, because accountability is really important for a lifetime.
It is. We always need someone who's holding mm-hmm. us accountable, and that friend mm-hmm. who can speak into our life.
Yep.
And say, hey, come on now.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So we're going to kind of switch tracks a little bit, but this is really a foundation for all of this conversation, because you mm-hmm. said that you helped your student and steward these gifts well. You see how they're growing up to be strong young men. Mm-hmm. But as you sought God on yourself, because a lot of times mm-hmm. we, one, try to introduce our kids to someone we don't know very well ourselves because mm-hmm. we haven't spent time with Jesus, or two, say, I don't have time, there's too many interruptions, all the things. Mm-hmm. So how have you over the years developed that personal relationship with Jesus that you have then been able to pass on to your son?
Yeah, such a good question. And just so important, because I do think that in the busyness of life, it's easy to put certain things on the back burner. There's just a couple areas that I'm super disciplined in. And I think it's just because I believe with all my heart that it really does, that I need it. And the first thing is time with God, like every morning without compromise, really. I can't think of any reason not to. And if I have to be up extra early, even 10 minutes to just get up that extra amount of time. But yeah, I'm in the Word and in prayer every day. It's the first thing I do with my cup of coffee. Thank you. But between that and getting exercise regularly and, you know, things like brushing my teeth, showering, there's not a whole lot that I'm super consistent about, but there are certain things that I am like, I will not let this one go. And I think my kids see that. They know that when they get up, mom's on the couch with their Bible open, dad does the same thing. And I believe with all my heart that what we model to our kids is the most important thing. We can teach and teach and preach, but if they don't see us living it out, then it's really going to be hard to pass that on to them. And so, yeah, and I think out of the overflow of our heart, our words come, our attitude comes. And so when we are excited about what God's teaching us through His Word and through our time with Him, it's just going to come out in conversation. God's Word will be on our minds. I mean, that's the whole Deuteronomy mm-hmm. chapter 6, chapter 11. It's just having God's Word on our heart throughout the day. And then, yeah, plugging in where we can to small group Bible studies, making church a priority, being excited about church, making that something we look forward to and we do as a family. And then the kids have the same attitude. So modeling is huge. I just am such a believer in that in so many areas, but especially spiritually speaking, I think just if you are authentically, not perfect, but authentically seeking God and walking with Him as mom and dad, it's going to be the best way to pass that on to your children.
And I love that you also pointed out that it doesn't have to be a long, long time. It can mm-hmm. be 5 or 10 minutes in the morning. Mm-hmm. Because so often we feel guilty or shame if we don't do the 30-minute quiet time.
Yeah, yeah.
But during the school year, there's not always time for that.
Right. Yep. So,
yep. I did, I think 5 minutes this morning was all I had time for.
But that's all right.
Yes. But that 5 minutes, just fine. I don't need to feel guilty about it or anything like that, because
totally.
That gives you enough to pass on to your kids during the day.
Absolutely. And I was just going to say, especially on those days, sometimes I feel like I'm almost more on my game the rest of the day, because I realize how much, like, oh, I didn't get much time. So I'll be more intentional about playing worship music in the car, or about having my Bible open on the counter, because I'm like, oh, I need more. And then I find, wow, I've got God's Word in me in many different small moments throughout the day. And we can pray as a family. And maybe that evening I'll be like, hey, I didn't get a lot of time this morning. Let's do a family devotional together. So I think that sometimes can work in our favor.
That is very true. I love that you pointed out there's a lot of other ways that we mm-hmm. can spend time with God throughout our mm-hmm. day, because often we think if we pass up the time in the morning, then it's a one and done. There's mm-hmm. nothing else we could do. Mm-hmm. And I really love the idea of laying your Bible on the counter to an yeah. open phrase or passage or something like that. Mm-hmm. Are there some favorite verses that you turn to, or is it just whatever you're reading that day?
Yeah, well, it kind of depends on, you know, I move between different books of the Bible or studies. I've been using Tara Lee Cobble's Bible, their Bible recap, for the past probably year and a half. So right now I'm in the middle of Isaiah. So that's not, well, there's some great verses in there, but it's not necessarily one that I'm going to read aloud over lunch. Although, yeah, there's been a few of those, but definitely whatever I'm studying, I just try to keep it in front of me, because I hate that feeling so much when it's like, you think back of your devotions and you're like, I don't remember what I read this morning. You're like, dang, why did I even do it if I'm not going to remember it? So I like to just bring it out and have it visible so that I can refresh myself. And same with like Sunday morning sermons. I like to try to talk about it later, because I don't want to just go and then let it just go in the back of my head. I want to talk it out with the family and have some conversations so that it's really sticking.
I like that idea. My kids are younger, so they're not quite listening to the sermon yet.
Right.
But yeah. Asking for maybe what they got out of it or something like that, just so we can all have that conversation to kind of remember what was said.
Yeah. Well, in Sunday school too, I oftentimes my son runs up, you know, he's actually at his age now, he's not in Sunday school, but all the years he did run up with their little craft or whatever, give it to you. You're like, oh, thanks. Good job. How was Sunday school? And then you move on. I'm like, wait, actually tell me what you learned today. Let's talk about what verse, you know, what'd you do? And they're like, so that's good to have them wanting to recall it and talk about it.
Those are some great ideas. You are the umpteenth person who has mentioned Bible recap to me.
Oh. You gotta
have looked at it myself and have sort of started listening to her a little bit, but since it was the summer and now we're heading into the school year, I'm going to have more time now by myself. And so I will have to pull her up, because
I laugh because my husband is a big fan of hers, and my husband is really, he knows good theology. He listens to, you know, great Bible teachers. But often when he pulls up from work, we laugh because we hear Tara Lee's, because, you know, she has the Bible Recap book, but she also has that daily podcast. And he just will binge listen to, you know, many episodes in a row. And we tease him. We're like, that's dad's other female voice in his life is Tara Lee Cobble reading to him about the Bible. So
that's great. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
I love that you gave us all these ideas for connecting with God ourselves. How do you help your kids seek Jesus? Have these worked for them, or have there been other things that have helped them more?
Yeah. Well, again, I'm going to just always say modeling is the most important thing, but we do just say, you know, there's a little list of morning routine. And to me, there's nothing wrong with putting Bible devotions on a checklist. And we don't want it to be something they just check off a list, but discipline is important in life, right? And so whatever it might be, we have on their list, you know, get up, brush teeth, take a shower, do devotions, eat breakfast. Like, these are things you need to eat breakfast to be healthy. Well, you need to spend time in God's word to be spiritually healthy. And so we just make that a regular part of the day. It's kind of not debatable. This is just what you do. And so in the early years, and even now as a 12-year-old, I'll often sit with my son and say, let's open God's word together. But then I'm really working on trying to get him in the habit too of journaling something. So he has a journal. He fights me on this one, because, you know, 12-year-old boys don't always love to write. But I'm like, it's okay. You can either write a prayer, you can copy a verse that day, you can say one thing you learned, but just put something down. And the reason I'm so adamant about that is because I believe that as he gets older, that journal, and I know from my older boys, will become a really safe place to communicate with God and to track prayers and answered prayers. And I think it's important for kids, boys and girls, to have that. So I just want him to kind of get in that daily habit as many days a week as possible. And then the one thing I love to pass on, especially for boys, but I think for all kids and really for all of us, we try to get our kids to read a chapter of Proverbs every day. And so we just go through the month, whatever day, you know, it's easy for us. My husband will be like, hey, you know, today is the 15th. Tell me what Proverbs 15 had to say. And they'll be like, if they didn't read it. So they know that they might be asked about that at the dinner table. So just to read through one chapter of Proverbs a day is not hard to do. And there's so much wisdom. There's so much in Proverbs that really is applicable to our daily life and our culture today. It is amazing when you look at it and go, wow, you would think they knew what was going on today. So we love Proverbs. I think for boys, teenage boys, tween boys, it is huge and so helpful.
I love that you are the second boy mom I've heard mention that.
Yeah.
But that's a good way to start the day with the boys, as you
remember. Yep. Yeah. And then we have, you know, little boy devotionals and other things that we go through in time. The Bible app has a decent kids little devotional, but I'm always like, I just want you off a screen, but it is good. So I let them use that sometimes.
Yes. I try to balance using a screen because it's what they're drawn to while also using the physical Bible. Yeah. Screens are becoming so much of where our faces are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm happy though. My older two sons both have invested in a really beautiful Bible and they are kind of snobby about, like, when they see me reading the Bible on my phone, they're like, Mom, they're very into having a good paper Bible. So that's kind of cool.
That is cool. If you're a mom listening, quite honestly, the reason I use a paper Bible is so that they'll see it. Like, yeah. If I was alone in my house, I'd probably just use my iPad because I write everything on there. Mm. But I want them to see me with a Bible and not wonder if I'm on the Bible or Facebook.
Exactly.
That's why I use a physical one at the moment.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. Back to that modeling thing you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So you've already talked about some good Bible and some other resources. Are there any others that you recommend to help kids connect to God and abide in Jesus?
Yeah. I've been thinking through this because there's been so many over the years. You know, I guess I just really want to point people to going straight to the Bible. Obviously, you're asking for other resources, but I just think it's easy for us to want to find tools and things, but helping kids just develop a love for the Word of God is huge. So anything that does that, my boys have gone through different studies in their small groups through church. And as they've gotten older, you know, more mature things, they just love the study of theology. But there's not one thing that stands out to me. We've been through many. But again, I think just really encouraging them to read through the Bible and to pray and ask God to really meet them there. And that is a discipline. I think it's hard for kids who have depended on other books and other devotionals to do that. But I think when they're young, that's something we can really help them do, is go directly to the Word of God and ask for God to speak to their hearts as they read His Word.
I love that. And I think I'm going to start the Proverbs thing with my boys. I have to see where we can fit it into our day. Right now we are listening to the story on the way to school, the one by Max Lucado and Randy Franzi.
The story, you said?
The story.
Okay.
Let me tell you about it.
Yes.
It's where Max Lucado and Randy Franzi, I think I'm saying that right, took the whole entire story of the Bible and made it read more like a novel. So most of the book is straight from scripture. I think it's the NIV that they take it from. When they do a shortened, or when they kind of contract some information, it'll be in a different font. So, you know, this is them inputting it or summarizing information for you. But it's so that you can see the story as the story of God himself with his people.
Oh, I love that.
And it's worked really well because we were listening to the Bible through in a year, as many of my listeners will know, or not in a year. We're listening to the Bible through. It's taken us many years, but we really got lost in the Psalms. They made it that far. So that's something.
That's good.
I could see their eyes glazing over in the car. And so our church started going through the story at the beginning of the year. And so I just switched to doing that. My husband had gotten it on Audible. So I switched to that, and that's working much better for them.
I don't know how I haven't heard of this. So I'm going to check it out now. That would be great for my son to do as well.
Yeah. Most of it is word for word from the NIV version.
Awesome.
And then, like I said, they summarize if they are jumping a little bit or if like.
And do they use voices? Is it kind of like narrated like that, or it's just being read?
This is just being read. It'll switch to, I think it's a man's voice that reads the actual Bible, but I mean, it's with inflection and stuff. It's not boring.
Sure. Yeah.
And then the woman's voice is a summary voice. If you want something that actually has all the noises and stuff. NIV Dramatic Audio Bible is what we had been listening to.
Oh.
That has voices and all the sound effects and everything.
Wow. Awesome. So, I love that. There is one book for the younger, not super young, but I know many of us love the Jesus Storybook. That's what it's called, right? The Jesus Storybook. We all talk about that one. But more recently, I have had a copy of the Biggest Story Bible Storybook. I believe it's by DeYoung. It's a book, and it is just so beautifully illustrated. And I love, it's really the whole story of God, the biggest story Bible story book. So that's a great resource. I think, you know, up to about my son's age, he's 12 now, and it seems a little young, but my husband even likes to read it because it's just really beautifully written. And so it's kind of just telling its story version, shorter summaries, definitely not in depth and not word for word. But yeah, that's one resource for those early years. And then as my boys get older, I feel like they just kind of take off on their own and they're all self-directed. By the time they're in high school, they're doing things, all kinds of different things. But yeah, the other, I know we're kind of talking to a range of ages, but my 12-year-old, we've kind of gotten back into listening to Adventures in Odyssey. Mm-hmm. And those are just great. Obviously, a little bit more character related, but some scripture in there. And we love Adventures in Odyssey for those early years.
I'm writing these down and I'll link all of these for you guys in the show notes. So if you're driving your car and like, I can't get that down, they are all linked for you in the show notes there.
Awesome.
And then like Monica mentioned, we have lots of different ages here that mm-hmm. are listening, and the story actually, they have it from toddlers to the adult version of that story.
Awesome.
So whichever age group you have, there is the story book for you that is amazing, by Max Lucado and Randy Franzi. And I'll link amazing. That for you guys in the show notes. And then another one I just thought of as you were talking, my sons have their noses in graphic novels all the time nowadays. Mm-hmm. Like my head wants to explode and I can't keep up reading them because they read so fast.
Love it.
But a illustrator from Marvel and a Bible, I forget which version it is, paired up and did the Action Bible.
Oh, yes.
Is the Bible. In
comic version.
Yeah. And it's really well done.
Yeah.
Because it's done by an actual comic artist for Marvel and DC. So it's really well done, but it is also very accurate because they tell you where all the stories came from. So if you want to read it in the actual Bible, they list it in that particular story or comic. But I have read it with my sons when we first discovered it, and it is so accurate. It's really good.
One of my boys read that for a while and it was good. Comics are just hard for me to follow. So I remember it. There's a lot packed into it. So yes, I think you can trust it's pretty accurate and reliable. Good stuff.
So if your kids are kind of, I don't want to read, but they really like graphic novels, that is a good way to introduce them to God, even where they are. And that's really what I pray for my kids. God will find them where they are.
Mm.
So whether it's music or on their phones or through comics or whatever, that he'll find them where they are, because I know he is capable of making himself known.
Yes.
All right. As we wrap up here, Monica, where can my listeners find you?
The best place to find me is at my home base website, which is monicaswanson.com. There will be links to my podcast, my course, all the things I do there. And then on Instagram, I'm at monicaswanson_. Home base website is going to have links to everywhere you can find me.
And then you said that you have a course available for moms. Can you tell us a little bit about that as we're wrapping up? And then a new book coming out.
Totally. Oh, yes. Yes. I love to talk about all those things. Well, funny, as we were discussing resources, it made me think. I have a course called the Character Training Course, and this really grew out of a chapter in my book, Boy Mom, where I talked about character and I talked about, you know, some of the things we did when my boys were young, but also how once one of my sons hit the early teenage years, we went through a really challenging season. And I talked about something I did after a lot of prayer, God really provided. And I started doing something new with this son. I called it character training for lack of a better idea. But it was radical and it really changed the course of that son's life, I think, to this day. And it changed our family. So I mentioned that in Boy Mom, and I got so many emails on that topic of people saying, can you tell me more about what you did? I want to raise a son or daughter of character. And so I decided to put it in a course form. And part of the reason why was because I really wanted to share a lot of things that you can't necessarily fit into a book. Resource lists, some of the tools that I used in character development. And so inside my character training course, there are modules that I walk through from building a foundation all the way through that character training exercise I did. And with that, I share this amazing list of resources, and it's everything from TED Talks to YouTube channels to books. I have a list of movies that inspire character, the best movies for families to watch together to inspire character, things you can have conversations about. And the resource list is one of the favorite parts of that course because I put so much work into gathering it. But then there's also a new section. I have David Thomas talking about kids and anxiety and how that can affect character. I have Wendy Speak talking about anger in parenting and some helpful tools for that. I have some dads in the course that are speaking on character. So that's kind of my favorite thing. And I only open the doors to the course usually 3 times a year. And so there is a link there in at my blog where you can leave your name and email address if you want to be notified the next time the doors open.
Excellent. And then you also have a new book coming out.
I do.
2023.
Yes, yes. I'm so excited that I have a new book really to follow up. Boy Mom wanted to expand the audience a little bit because I had a lot of moms say, you know what? I have a daughter and this applies just about as much to my daughter as my son, but Boy Mom was specific for boys. Also, it was written for moms. And I have to be honest, my husband is a huge, huge part of why my sons are who they are. So my next book is called Raising Amazing. And the subtitle is my favorite. It's Bringing Up Kids Who Love God, Like Their Family, and Do the Dishes Without Being Asked.
I love that.
It's a long one, but really the focus is the 3 things I hear back from people the most after reading Boy Mom or after listening to my podcast. People want to know how to raise a kid who loves Jesus, which no, unfortunately, there is no formula, but there's a lot we can do as parents to really foster that and nurture that relationship. 2, my boys are all best friends and people see that on social media and they're like, how do you do that? My kids fight all the time. And I say, it's okay. Mine fought plenty too, but there's a lot we can do as parents to help, again, nurture that relationship. And then character, doing the dishes without being asked. That's just a kid of character. So we want to raise amazing kids. And when I say amazing, I'm talking about my favorite definition is something that causes wonder, something that is a pleasant surprise. And that's what we want more than successful kids or kids who are famous in this world today. We want to raise kids who have hearts that are a surprise in this dark world that really cause the world to wonder. And then we want to point that wonder to the amazing God behind it all. So that's the book that's coming out in February of 23. Not sure exactly when this episode's coming out, but it's probably sometime just happened or about to happen.
Yes. I will again put those in the show notes. I cannot wait to get my hands on that book myself. It sounds amazing. And go connect with Monica in all the places and her podcast. I know you're really going to enjoy it. Thank you so much for joining me today, Monica.
Oh, thank you. And I can't wait to meet all of you. So please say hi. If you track me down, tell me where you heard me.
You guys have a great week and we'll see you back here next time.
Aloha.
To make sure you don't miss a single episode, please hit the subscribe button in your podcast app. If you found this podcast helpful, please leave a rating and review on iTunes to help others find Over a Cup and join us on this journey. Thank you.